right, cool, guys. So I got a presentation. Interesting that I was brought on to talk about raising capital and the things that I've learned on my show. But surprise, surprise, I'm actually not going to talk about that. I'm going to be talking about mindset today. And I want to start my presentation. Can you hear the music? Listen. Can you hear the music? Listen. It's playing. All you have to do is turn on a radio to a whole bunch of different frequencies. The music's always playing. How come you can't hear it? Do you need a radio? So I'll give the audience a bunch of radios. You know, you can break it up, take it apart, dissect it, pull the speakers out, pull the wires out of the speakers, kind of like I did when I was 10 years old. The battery, I think I had a boom box, bunch of, I think it was 4D batteries. I saw the wires and I'm like, how does this make the music play? So I put the wires to my tongue to see if anything was happening. You know, that's what I did. My friend Hector Ortega was like, hey, don't you want to understand how things work? Break this thing up, you know. This presentation here that I'm going to be doing is going to be on aligning to the frequency, a specific frequency of capital raising. The thing is that there's a lot of frequencies playing, and like how the whole purpose of this presentation is how do we tune into that specific to raising capital. You know, I've got a pretty successful show. I've interviewed hundreds, all way better at raising capital than I am. There's a lot of people in the show, in the conference here, that have raised way more than I have. So why do you think Jerome had me come on and talk about raising capital when there's so many people that have raised way more? Perhaps it's because I'm going to be talking about something that a lot of capital raisers don't really touch upon. And this whole conference is about getting out of the matrix, right? So how do you learn to bend the spoon and make it tilt over to the other side? That's what I'm going to be talking about today. One of the ways that you can do that, and we're going to go through a meditation process, a real quick one, because I think if you want to make magic happen for yourself in this world, in this life, one of the ways to do that is through meditation. And you can do all kinds of things that will bend reality through this process. You know, but back to the radio, you see, the music is always playing. We can imagine that there's all these frequencies playing. You can tune into a variety of music stations and hear these things. So how do you tune in to the frequency of capital raising? That's some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about. Part of it is aligning to a higher awareness. So how do you self-realize? How do you move into this place that I think we're all connected to, right? So we have these intuitions, all these intuitive things that take us places, and we don't listen to these things. But that's what this presentation is about, is how do you start listening to your gut feelings? And one thing that Henry Ford said was, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. We're talking about our higher self. How do you get out of the matrix and experience this better version of yourself? If we had to put a label on this, it's about tuning into that frequency. Let's talk about this, because even though I'm a baby in the world of capital raising, I have been able to manifest some things into my life. I'm curious if anybody else has manifested things into their life. So I've manifested, for example, safe passage, driving through Mexico during hurricane season, driving through 1.5-foot waters along miles of highway, trips to foreign countries, manifested a trip to Costa Rica, money for things really quickly. And I think my pride and joy is that I manifested a beautiful Mexican wife who's 18 years younger than me. And, you know, I'm handsome, but wow, like 18 years. That's pretty exciting. The only thing that I have yet to attract, I've attracted capital, I've attracted some other things, but I still don't have kids. And I did imagine that I would have kids when I was little. So I'm still working on that. Unfortunately, before I started to study a lot with Wayne Dyer and come from a place of peace and kindness, I actually used the same skill set to attract a lot of negative things to my life. Back when I was 15, 16, 17, 18, I used to attract a lot of police into my life. I went to jail a few times. And this all happened because I think I was aligned with a lot of negativity. I was very angry with God, which I think if you want to attract some positive things to your life, that's not going to work out too good for you, as I experienced myself. My father passed when I was 7, and I was very angry at God. I thought, how can a righteous God take away a 7-year-old little boy's father from him? And I was very angry, and I went through high school very rebellious. You know, I was a vandal. I used to destroy things. I used to do a lot of drugs. I ended up in drug court, felony drug court. The judge liked me, so it was dropped to a misdemeanor. But it was very turbulent times for me, and I had to figure out a way. I guess it wasn't really important to me at the time, but eventually, you know, I think a lot of us entrepreneurs, we have to go through this process where, you know, if we look at our surroundings and the people that we're with, and we look at them and say, I don't want to be like that person. So we have to remove ourselves from that circle of influence and move into a different circle of influence. And I've been on the show with a few people, and they're like, well, how do you remove, you know, maybe in my case, it's not as extreme as yours, but how do you remove these negative people, these guys that are holding you back, oftentimes with the same last name as us? How do you remove them? How do you stop listening to them? And my answer is pretty easy. Like, what I did was multi-level marketing and spirituality. That's what I pitched to the people, to the friends, and they disappeared so fast, it left my head spinning. They were just gone super fast. So I always thought that was kind of funny. But this was all before I realized one thing, and this is something that Tony Robbins says, is that life happens for you, not to you. And I realized that God was not against me. God was actually doing things in my favor. The universe was conspiring on my behalf. I just didn't understand it, right? So when I started to listen to some people like Wayne Dyer, really reformed my entire concept of everything, really. I started to believe that I could bring another reality into my existence. It was like an escape from the matrix that I was living in at that time. It was about 2006, so we're talking about a long time ago. But I put my foot down and said, hey, I can't live like you guys anymore. And I basically removed everybody from my life. Everybody. I grew up not necessarily from a place of wealth. I knew a lot of people that were in poverty. And so I want to start this next part of the presentation with a poem. And you know, as we're talking about getting out of the matrix, I think this is pretty powerful. This poem was written by Sam Taylor Coleridge, author of The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. So, and as you listen to this poem, I'd like you to think about whether or not these words resonate with you. Not necessarily if it's well-written poetry, but if this is something that you can believe in, the message in this poem. The poet asks, what if you slept? And what if in your sleep you dreamed? And what if in your dream you went to heaven? And there picked a strange and wonderful flower. And what if when you awoke, you held that flower in your hand? Ah, what then? The poet asks. And I'd like you to contemplate that. You know, manifesting something from a dream state, from just a thought, from an image, and having it show up. You know, when I talk to a lot of capital raisers, they can't imagine or couldn't at one point in their life having raised tens of millions of dollars. And yet they find themselves in this surreal state in the future, having raised that money and helping a lot of people create generational wealth for themselves, for their family, and for a bunch of other people. Is this possible? Is it just a poet's fanciful dreaming? Is it something that we're capable of? Is this escape of the matrix? Can you do that metaphorically speaking when you exit the matrix? Can you violate the laws of physics and ordinary understanding and make that spoon bend? That's what we're going to be talking about here. You know, there's some scriptures You know, people have read it in the Bible and a bunch of other places, that with God, all things are possible. Anything that you think is not possible, you may want to start to try and examine, because this is what we refer to as limiting beliefs. Nicole mentioned, and I've heard some other speakers talk about limiting beliefs and how do you break through that, particularly when you're moving into the world of syndication or multifamily investing. A lot of times we are the first people in our families that have ever raised money or bought a $5 million property. In my case, this is exactly true. Nobody in my family, even though I come from a little bit of real estate, nobody has ever purchased a $5 million property. So how do you do that? A lot of times it's by aligning with the right partners, like Brian Briscoe was talking about. And the other part is, you see, a lot of us have been raised to be ordinary. And you know, I don't want to be demeaning on this, but a lot of us have been raised not necessarily to believe that we are the son of God or the daughter of God, or that we are goddesses, that we have the power to do all kinds of things, to bend the physical reality of the matrix. And we're just kind of raised to fit in, you know, to do what is expected of us, to pay our bills, to obey the laws, to rinse and repeat, you know, and live in this rat race. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I have family members that are perfectly happy with their jobs, but I don't believe that that's a place for a lot of us, particularly the ones that are entrepreneurial, that is a place of being extraordinary. You know, we're all created from this place. And along the way, I think it gets lost, right? Because of all the programming that we hear. So here's what I want to say is, as we begin to elevate our consciousness to this place where we can become real estate investors, a place that we have to go to, especially if we've never invested before, or if we're trying to scale, we have to go to this higher level of awareness. And I have something that I want to share with you about this in terms of like creating miracles and raising capital and buying real estate and large apartment complexes and creating, like Maurice Philogene says, a life of design and traveling the world while cash flowing. I can't imagine too much that's better than that. I have this particular, so there was this lady, her name was Portia Nelson, and she went to this New Age seminar. And at this seminar, they gave out 3x5 cards. I actually wrote down her story. They said, write down the chapter, the five chapters of your life, and you can't be too wordy. So it's going to be on some 3x5 cards. I'm going to read this to you so that you guys can kind of contemplate what it's like to move into another world of reality. Chapter one of my life. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am hopeless. It isn't my fault. And it takes forever to find a way out. Chapter two of my life. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole. I pretend that I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. And it still takes a long time to get out. Chapter three of my life. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are wide open. I know where I am. It's my own fault, and I get out immediately. Chapter four of my life. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter five of my life. I walk down another street. And this is very different. And, you know, this is what this presentation is about, is walking down a different street, a street that we have never been programmed to believe exists. You know, a street that doesn't exist in the matrix. We have to find a different way of being, of getting to a higher place of awareness. So I think this is a great story. So thank you for Portia. But one of the things that I kind of want to talk about here is, how do you start attracting capital into your life? How do you start attracting health into your life? How do you start attracting a higher level of things into your life. And part of it is through meditation. And we're going to be doing a quick meditation here. And one of the things that I kind of practice with when I'm manifesting things, which I'm crazy like that, I believe in the power of manifestation. I believe that I attracted my wife through this process through meditation. And we can practice by manifesting little things in our life. And this is what I'm talking about when I say we're going to bend the spoon. So I went snowboarding about 3 weeks ago, yesterday, and I was on my way home from Flagstaff, Arizona, on the way down to Sedona, Arizona. And I said, you know, I've manifested some things before in the past. I want to manifest a yellow car. And, you know, I've done stuff like that before. So I want to get more specific. I want to manifest a yellow Jeep. And I said, thank you, God, for connecting me to the reality of me manifesting these things and proving to myself that I can, by focusing on things from an inside internal place, attract these things. And I just believed that I would see a yellow Jeep. So, you know, I was driving down the street, driving down the highway, saw a couple of cars that were almost yellow, but not quite. Got into Sedona and I see a yellow car and I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. It was a yellow Mustang. And then I see another yellow, I think it was a truck or something. And then as I'm driving through the middle of town, this yellow Jeep pulls out of the parking lot and starts driving right next to me. And I was like, wow. You know, like when you start to focus on the things that you want to attract, very much like people that have capital, and you start looking for them. I think some of you guys have heard this awareness. When you focus on yellow cars, they start appearing like out of nowhere because you're not trained. Your mind is not trained to see these things. But I use this as an example, and I've seen a ton of yellow vehicles over the last 3 weeks. It's crazy, but it's kind of hard to elevate your consciousness where you can start attracting these things into your life. And it's a lot of fun. You take it to the next level. So how do I attract safe passage through Mexico? You just believe it. You have this inner knowing that you're going to get through the federales and all of these, the hurricanes, whatever, and go through places, the poverty-stricken places that are just flooded and they're taking their beds out and throwing things out into the street. But like, how do you navigate that? And like, you know, like you start just knowing internally that you can attract these things into your life. And how do you take it to the next level? Oh, well, okay, so I can attract a yellow car, no problem. That's just, you know, keeping your eyes open. You see it. Well, what about repeating numbers? I want to see 999-000-555-777-444 on a license plate directly in front of me. Okay, well, 1 in 100 cars has that. I see 1,000 cars every day. Not a big deal. But what if you see, and you're driving through a parking lot and you see a license plate that says 999 and then another one 777-555-444-333-222 and then another one that says 333 and you're just like, this is one parking lot. Statistically, I took a statistics class in my MBA program at ASU. This is very improbable. But this starts to train your mind to believe that you can bring these things into reality. And it's very powerful. I kind of want to invite you to play with this. And we're going to go through a meditation here in a minute. I'll be quick about this. But sometimes it's challenging because we have all these fears and limiting beliefs. And we're in the middle of a capital raise right now. I've raised $375,000 through some co-GPs, and we're still short. And this reminds me of just yesterday. I was snowboarding, and I'm going through this big open area, and there's these trees to the left that always call my attention. They're like, hey, come, you know, come play over here. So I go into this little tree trail, and I'm kind of going through medium speed. And there's spaces that are very little. They're like this big, you know, like 2 feet. You know, my board is almost as tall as I am. It's like this tall. So like to stop, you have to turn, but there's no way to turn when you're going through a little place. And I hit this little 3-inch tree and it kind of launches me, I'm filming, into this other tree and it knocks my phone out and I lose complete control and smack myself really hard on the ground. I know that I'm not broken. I don't have any broken bones, but I'm just hurting. It takes me 60 seconds to get up. And I turn and I see my helmet. I grab it. I turn to the left. There's my phone. I grab it. It's still recording. I turn it off. And I think of this as a parallel to capital raising, right? So like sometimes you get smacked around, but you know that nothing's broken and you know that you'll recover, right? So I think I'm kind of experiencing this a little bit right now with my capital raise. I'm getting better, right? So I'm raising more and more and it's becoming more often. And this is the process that we go through as, you know, sometimes we get smacked down like that diagram that Nicole shared where it's not a straight path to success. It's just like random and like loops and you go forward and you go backwards and then you raise money and then you fail to raise. But at the end of the day, you have to believe that this is a process that you're going to get better as time goes. So I'm going to take you through this meditation process because I think a lot of people, I don't think anybody's talked about meditation. It's a scary thing. I think a lot of people say, oh, I know people that meditate. Every successful person that I know meditates. So I'm going to invite you guys to do a little meditation with me. And I'm going to invite you and I'm going to close my eyes too. And then we'll finish this off. But imagine that you're in a place of peace. And then, you know, let's relax a little bit first, right? So let the muscles in your scalp relax. Let the muscles in your face relax. Let the muscles in your shoulders relax and all throughout your body, all the way down to your toes. Let them chill out. I want you to go to a place in your imagination that's a very safe place. For me, it's a beach, Playa del Carmen, where I have my shoes off. My toes are in the sand. I can smell the sea breeze. The palm trees are shaking a little bit. I can look across the ocean and see the moonlight glimmering and the lights flickering from across the bay, from across the ocean, I should say, from Cozumel, right? So this is a place where I used to take my dogs. Wherever this place is for you, I want you to imagine somebody, whoever loves you more than anybody else, I want you to imagine that this person is there with you. And this person is praying from a place of gratitude about you because you've attracted all the things in your life that you want to, whether it's a multifamily property or perfect health or healing or removal of addictions, anything that you want for your life. This person, this loved one of yours is praying, not from a place of need, but from a place of gratitude as if you've already attracted these things into your life. So that could be, you know, $1 million worth of capital. It could be a multifamily property. And this person wants to tell you that you have the power to attract these things into your life. And they're planting in your mind the first signal that you can start attracting these things. And what that looks like is yellow cars. As you go through the next week or two, you will start to see yellow cars. And they could be a Jeep, an FJ, a Chevy, Camaro. I've seen a lot of those. And with this, I'm going to close out this meditation. It's really easy. You can actually do these types of meditations with your eyes open if you want to. And I would invite you to say, hey, I'm connected to the reality that I want to attract to myself without somebody else praying for you. But sometimes it's easier for other people, for us to imagine that other people are doing this because we have a hard time believing that we can attract these things to ourselves. But it's very similar to when you imagine a loved person, it's very similar to God in the sense that you're connecting to somebody else wanting the best life for you and to attract these things to you and to get into multifamily or fixing, flipping houses or whatever it is that you want to accomplish, starting your own business, getting a better job, attracting health to yourself. So I would invite you over the next week, look out into the world, into the different highways or streets or parking lots, and look for those yellow cars. And when you see those yellow cars, remember this conversation. Remember that you have the power to attract these things into your life and that that is just a symbol of you escaping the matrix and bending the spoon. And you will see that this becomes totally true. And some people will say, well, this is not manifestation. This is just broadening your focus to attract things, to see things. And that's absolutely what capital raising is opening your eyes to the fact that money is everywhere. It's all over. And I've interviewed a bazillion people about how they're processing. I mean, you can go in there and talk about avatar creation and automations and investor management software portals and storytelling and marketing strategy. It's all there. But like, you can't use those tools if your mind is not right. And how do you get your mind right? It's by listening to your self-talk, the things that you're saying to yourself, by aligning with people, with other partners. So that's what I'm going to say to you guys. Be open to it and you will attract that. So with that, if anybody has any questions about manifesting, about capital raising, just about anything, feel free to chime in. Even if it's not a question, you just have a comment. Very cool. I see some comments coming in. Ruben, you are the truth. I don't know about that, but the world is very interesting. You know, we can attract all kinds of cool stuff into our lives. We just got to focus on it. Yeah, you will see, Nicole. You'll see those yellow cars. I saw, it was crazy on the way into work today or into the studio, better said. I was like, I want to see a yellow vehicle so that I can prove it. And I actually took my wife through this meditation process. I'm like, hey, I'm going to try this thing at the Mid-Atlantic Multifamily Investing Conference. Let me try it on you to see if it works. She's like, what is it? And I was just like, let me take you to a meditative state. And then I had her focus on being grateful for the fact that she was going to see cars. And then she saw like a bunch of yellow cars on the way home. It was so trippy. And I'm just like, I know this works because I do it. I've done it on the way to Sedona. I did it on the way to work today. And I saw this motorcycle and I'm like, oh, that's not possible. Yellow motorcycles don't exist, right? So I drive up and it's not quite yellow. So I'm like, oh, that's not what I want. I want to see a yellow motorcycle. And I forgot my laptop cord. So I drove home and drove back. And in the exact same spot where I saw the orange motorcycle, there was a yellow motorcycle. I swear. It's so crazy. Yeah, yellow Corvettes, yellow Lamborghinis. I haven't seen a Lamborghini, but I've seen yellow FJs, yellow Xteras, yellow Mini Coopers, yellow trucks. I saw a Ryder truck. I saw this Nolan Truly, or I forget what the name of the insect company is, with the big black ears, yellow truck with the black ears. They're everywhere, and it's so trippy, but they come. So I want to go back a little bit and kind of, if we have some time, I'm happy to finish off here, but you guys should probably know a little bit about me. I started in real estate investing probably in 2008. And there was this dude that came in with a bankruptcy from San Diego and he was buying a bunch of fourplexes. I'm like, well, I come from the world of finance. How are you buying these fourplexes? Don't you have a bankruptcy? He's like, well, I'm raising the capital. I'm like, can I go to your projects and film you? And then you can talk about it. And he would, you know, we would go there and he would talk about, this is how I found the property. This is what we're going to do to tenant occupy the property. This is how I raised the capital for it. This is how we're going to put it back on the market. And this is how we're going to get the contractors and put it back on the market within 15 days in a very aggressive time scale. And I just filmed him and put that stuff on YouTube and without ever promising anybody any returns. And like within about 9 months, we raised 600 grand. Just from sharing what we were doing. This is a different time, but it's not too different than what I'm doing right now. So a lot of people are starting podcasts or creating some kind of thought leadership, interview-based thought leadership program where you yourself are not the person that's sharing the information, but you're interviewing people that are sharing the information. And pretty much the same process as before, start this podcast, and then I attract a couple GPs. We raised 525 for one of our projects down in Tucson. We got another 375,000 on the way. And I'm still a rookie. Like I want to raise $100 million. I'm about 1%, a little over 1% of the way there. So I think if I can do it, I think anybody can do it, right? I'm nothing too crazy. I have a checkered background. And, you know, I just have aligned myself with God in such a way so that I can come from a place of peace, a place of kindness. And just by making friends, I think this multifamily industry is very much like high school where you are just trying to figure it out and you got these zits, right? And you're going through high school trying to figure out who am I going to hang out with? And then you see the seniors and they've bought all these apartment complexes and they're ahead and advanced of you, but they're like rooting for your success. And then you yourself, you're just trying to find the right cliques to hang out with. And that's what I'm doing. just making friends. Like if that's your focus, if you're not like, how do I find my ideal avatar on LinkedIn? And then you go chase them down. You know, like if you're just like, hey, I'm just going to provide some value and hang out and meet some people along the way. I've found that the capital comes automatically just because of the way that you're being. You're coming from a place of just making friends, not from a place of fear, not from a place of anxiety. And the reality is that you shouldn't be afraid to raise capital. Raising capital is an opportunity for somebody else. One of the first lessons that I learned from the Capital Raiser Show is that, you know, I would ask people, how do you raise capital? And they would say, well, that's the wrong mentality. The mentality and the focus should be, how do I provide an opportunity to these people that can help them create generational wealth for them, their families, and for their bloodline? And when you approach it from that perspective, not about, well, what's in it for me? And then, you know, like Bakerson, my company, they put a lot of pressure on me, like, hey, we hired you to bring the capital. Where's the capital? You know, like, hey, where is it at? I'm like, wait, hold on. It doesn't work like that, man. You have to go through this process of getting people to know, like, and trust you. Dan Hanford, I think you guys have heard him earlier today, his presentation. He likes to talk about the investor triad, the know, like, and trust triad, investor triad. And this is really a process of basically getting people to know, like, and trust you. And you can't raise capital from them if they don't know, like, and trust you. So I think sometimes you feel this pressure like, oh, I'm going to be a salesperson. And like, just let that stuff go. Like, don't go and try and sell something. Like, just go and try and make some friends. Because the more people that you become friends with, the more people know you. And, you know, Dan likes to ask, of the investor triad, the know, like, and trust, you know, which is the most important part? And, you know, some people say, oh, like, you know, like, nobody will ever invest with you if they don't like you. And other people say, oh, they'll never invest with you if they don't trust you. But Dan likes to say, well, they can never like or trust you if they don't know you. So I'm really impressed with him in his marketing strategies and getting out to a lot of people and sharing what he does so that people can see that he's an expert. And he's grown his community to like over 25,000 people probably by now. And that's really what the process is. Like, how do we grow our exposure? So that's what capital raising is like just going out and meeting people. But obviously you can do that a little bit better if you have a platform, if you're on LinkedIn, if you're on, you know, if you have a podcast. And I asked Neil Bawa, I interviewed him. I'm like, what's the best marketing strategy for raising capital? He's like, there is none. The best thing that you can do is have multiple places because it takes a whole bunch of different touches for people to see you over and over and then hear about you from different places, whether it's a podcast or, you know, somebody hears about Bakerson or whatever your company is or whoever your company is from one person and then from another person. And then they see you on a podcast and then they see you on a video and then they see you on LinkedIn and then they see you on social media and then they see you at a meetup. And then that starts to build your credibility. And that's one of the great things about this process is like you can have fun along the way. So with that, I don't know. Let's see. We're at 4:23. I think I was supposed to go until 4. We're about 20 minutes after. I'm super stoked to continue, but I know we got some networking to do. James, bring us home.
What's going on, Ruben? How you doing, man?
I'm phenomenal, man. Love life.
That is good. That is good, man. I remember your presentation last year, listening to you here, man. It's late here on the East Coast, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I got to get my mind right. I got to get my mind. I need to go outside and see some yellow cars. I'm expecting some yellow cars to actually ride outside of my house right now.
Yeah, just know that it's true. It's trippy. I've taken people through this process. It's actually just an opening of your awareness, man. It happens so easily, and capital is out there. Every time that you see a yellow car and everybody else in the audience, it is a representation of the fact that money is out there just like these yellow cars are.
Yeah, I'm going to go yellow car hunting. Now, at least my subconscious is going to be looking out for them the whole time. Man, look, thank you so much for coming to drop your wisdom and knowledge, getting our mindsets in the right place to be able to be in a place to receive what God has for us. It's absolutely right. Wonderful. I absolutely appreciate that, man.
Hey, that's guys, it, man.
Put in the chat box a one for Ruben because he was dropping knowledge. He was doing his thing. There they are. And Ruben, these people
love
have
you guys.
Been with us all day. We've been going since like 8:30 this morning, right? And the networking started before that. And so it's almost 7:30.
That's like 5 a.m. my time, right?
Yeah. And they have been absolutely going and getting it. So everybody, we're going to leave for those folks that are signed up for VIPs. I'm dropping the link for the VIP networking room.
Nice.
There, you can click that link and go over there. For those of you that, you know, did not take advantage of that opportunity, then you guys can stay here and network in this room and in this venue. We'll get started again with the formal program tomorrow morning. And I think we start at, let me see, at 8:30 tomorrow. But listen, at least 8:30 for the formal sessions tomorrow. You guys have a great night. And let's hope we can find Jerome. I know. We need to find him. We need to find him. We got to find out what Agent Smith did to him.
Dude, I will crush Agent Smith.
Yeah, he did it.
Don't mess with my man Jerome.
No, he's gonna have a whole angry nation, of folks of red pillars that are going to be looking to come save him. That's right. I took the red pill. All right, Ruben. Thanks.
Yeah, all right, man.
Everybody, let's go network.
Peace and strength.